Hello, this is Jesse Weiler for Automotive Bulletin. In this episode, we speak with Chris Carsons and Michael Gormley, also known as Gomer, about a new podcast that they launched in partnership with Automotive titled Becoming God. Of course, you know Chris Carsons, but Michael Gormley is also on a popular podcast called Every Knee Shall Bow and Catching Foxes. So without further ado, another Automotive interview. Okay, I'm here with Chris Carsons and Michael Gormley. How are you guys doing today?
Good, Jesse.
Man, if I was any better, I'd be twins. I'm doing great.
Oh, so great. Well, you guys both have beards, so you're twinning in one way, I would say.
Yes. Yeah. Though my mustachio is far inferior.
Well, this podcast is so great. As we're recording this, you have three episodes out, and I understood you were recording some just before our interview today. But I have to ask, I'll start with you, Chris. Are you God yet?
I am becoming God, Jesse.
Okay.
I'm not God yet, but I'm more God today than I was yesterday, I hope.
Gomer, are you God yet?
Yep.
All right. Well.
Yeah, I'm good. I peaked.
All downhill from there.
Yeah. I mean, 38 minutes of talking with Chris. So, like, how could one not but be
definitely
deified?
Definitely purgatory.
It's a cleansing fire.
I think Marguerite Carsons has a different perspective on that, but that's a different podcast. So this is such an interesting project, especially with an interesting name. And I've been talking to people about this. I'm very excited about what's happening here. And I got to tell you, every time I talk to somebody and they say, oh, it's a new podcast about liturgy. Oh, what's it called? Becoming God. Everyone says, what? Really? That's the reaction. So I got to know, what is the source of the name and this podcast? Chris, I'll ask you first.
Yeah. Well, maybe a twofold answer. One is that, right, so... you know, both Gomer and I talk about liturgy stuff a lot. And, but I find that lots of liturgy conversations are not about, you know, what's awesome about the liturgy, but what's wrong with the liturgy. You know, liturgical abuses or liturgical questions or liturgical reform or liturgical unreform, whatever it is. You know, everybody's got an opinion, the music, the preaching, the architecture, Episcopal leadership, pastoral leader, you know, there's just... too much is about what's wrong with the liturgy. And nobody talks about what's awesome about the liturgy, the possibilities that it gives people. So that's one of the motivations. But two, I'm trying to remember now, Gomer, what some of the titles that we kicked around before we landed on Becoming God. You remember some of them?
I think my most creative was Why the Liturgy? I think that was it. I think I peaked on that one too. So, yeah.
So we wanted to talk. Go ahead.
I was just gonna say I can't remember the other titles. I just remember not liking Becoming God at first, and the more I thought about it, the more I was like, you know, it's provocative. It's weird. It stands out. It doesn't sound like any other podcast I've heard in the. Catholic liturgiosphere, if that's even a thing. And so I got more and more excited the more it kind of rattled around in my brain.
Do you remember why you didn't like it?
I felt like I felt like it was a little too namaste for me, you know. like the whole idea of becoming God has been so co-opted by New Age spirituality, and there's so much room for like misunderstanding that to start a podcast on that note would be like, okay, now we got to climb uphill. But I think our first four episodes was the climbing up the hill and reassuring our fine listeners that this indeed is the Christocentric gospel that we've all known and loved our whole lives, right?
I love that you're pulling from two different perspectives. One is I couldn't possibly become God. Like that's so blasphemous. And then the other perspective is like, yeah, we're all our own gods. We all do whatever we want. And so I think pulling from both of those perspectives is really good. Gomer, you talked in the first episode, which I really loved, about the tension, especially in the Protestant world, about this idea that, oh, well, now you're making yourself a fourth person of the Trinity. Can you maybe discuss a little bit about that as a way to give us an entry point into both the title and then what this podcast is actually aimed at?
Yeah. So In my old job at a large parish, St. Anthony's in the Woodlands, I taught a class called Inclusion, which is an RCIA for already baptized and well-formed Protestants. And so in order to better catechize them, I would study a lot of Protestant theology from the most popular preachers and stuff, which meant consuming my favorite activity, which is consuming videos on YouTube at double speed. And so the algorithm feeds me this stuff, and literally the week before I think we recorded our first episode, before we recorded that, I would say evangelical YouTuber that I had never come across before, and they were just attacking the notion of becoming here's an old heresy making rounds again. And they would clip out maybe 15 Protestant pastors who were saying, like, the point of all of Christianity is to make you God. And it's like, no, nope, this is a heresy, this is evil, this is satanic, you know, this is the garden, this is, you know, all of that stuff. And so for me, I was like, yeah, this is where such a ground level misunderstanding, that I say ground level meaning it reverberates throughout the rest of the structure when the foundation is cracked like this, to see theosis and not just be like, what? I've never heard of that. But to be not just suspicious even, but to be hostile to the very concept, even though it's testimony by the church fathers and the language of scripture pointing to it is so powerful. And so that's when I was like, yeah, this is going to be the right kind of corrective in the liturgical conversation. And, you know, to me, my approach to this conversation is more evangelistic disciple making, and less, you know, obviously we, you know, I love nerding out and academic theology and all that stuff, but like for me it's about discipleship, and the liturgy was a key component I left out of my own discipleship because I was exhausted by all the liturgy wars. And now I've come to discover that turns out kind of important. Turns out. So this is a way to really get in there and get the gospel and sanctification and eternity constantly held in front of the eyes of the average Christian believer.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Chris, you know, you mentioned this in the beginning, that the tendency to look at what's wrong with the liturgy. I've had a number of conversations with you. You know, it's what's wrong with us, and then how does the liturgy address that? Can you talk about that reorientation of our understanding and as we should be looking at the liturgy and the Mass and what it is?
Yeah, well, a couple of points there is often when we talk about the liturgy or what's right or wrong with it or liturgical reform, it's all about what Father's doing or what the bishops are doing or something in the ritual. And who's never talked about is us. You know, it's not our problem. It's what they're doing wrong up there in the sanctuary. So there is something about our part in all this as well. But also, and Gomer's great about speaking about that. He talked about this in the first podcast, is that for many, not just non-Catholic Christians, but for Catholics too, the idea of salvation or redemption or justification or something like that is to not go to hell or to heal wounds. And those things are absolutely true. But if that's there's so much more than just that. Namely, your transformation into a son or daughter of God, becoming that by grace what Jesus is by nature. And that's so much more glorious and wonderful and desirous than just, oh, I hope I don't go to hell. And, I just want to overcome my, you know, sinful wounds, as important those are. So the personal dimension of all this is that it of this type of approach that we're going to take is it's really going to invest a lot in the participants, right? But also it's a call and an inspiration, I hope, not because Michael and I are inspirational, but because God is, and the church is, and her saints is, and her tradition is to become something that is not, you know, some sad plaster cast saint, but somebody who's gloriously joyful and beautiful and appealing and attractive and all the rest. So that's what the liturgical discussions need. That's what the world needs.
Gomer, you talked a little bit, kind of even in jest, and we've had conversations about, you know, does the world need another podcast of two guys talking about liturgy? So this is not that. This is there is kind of an end goal here. So somebody listens to, let's say, call it the first season of Becoming God. What is your hope that as a result in somebody's life after having listened to season one?
Oh, what a great question. My goal is for everyone to understand the centrality of God in all, right? Like, as we bicker over preferences, not only are we forgetting where we are going wrong, but we're forgetting what God is doing right in the liturgy. And there is a lot to be said about all of the other podcasts and all of the things. Like, we need those voices correcting, rebuking, championing, whatever. This stuff is important, and it's not like we can disregard it. But oftentimes, well, what gets lost is God's saving work in Christ Jesus by the Holy Spirit, right? The very economy of salvation is what's getting lost. And at the end of this, I want everyone to be able to look at a crucifix or to look at the Eucharist in adoration or in Mass. And I want them to know that not only did he do all of this, he did all of this for you. He did all this for you so that you can be with him united forever. And so season one, at the end of it, I want them, every listener, to have tattooed across their heart the word union. Right, that's all of Pauline theology. When you really get past the wars over, like, justification, when am I saved, at what moment, when, and it's like, but the point is union. The point is to be in Christ, and that little preposition "in" carries so much weight. So yeah, you could say the end goal of season one is that they understand the preposition "in" at a deeper level when they go and worship the God of the universe.
Chris,
that's all. That's all.
Yeah, that's it.
That's it. That's so much. No big whoop.
It's very small ask. Chris, this has so many undertones of the liturgical movement. And I can't help but think, okay, we have these great minds of the liturgical movement saying, well, people don't really know what's going on, and so we got to help them. And, you know, many decades later, I feel like we're still asking the same question. You know, people don't know what's going on, so how can we help them? Can you maybe talk about that parallel about the liturgical movement and maybe what we're trying to do here at this podcast?
Yeah, well, you know, in the early days of the liturgical movement, let's say Garinger up to, you know, the late 40s, early 50s, it was principally about moving people. So that's what the liturgical movement wanted to move and change, was people, how they understood the liturgy, how they engaged in the liturgy, how they participated in the liturgy. But then in, you know, the early 50s up until about 1975, or let's say 1980, there was a shift that was about moving the rites or changing the rites. And right, this is what people debate about, how well or poorly this came about, things like that. But when you hear, you know, somebody like Pope Francis, but Pope Benedict too, I mean, how much ritual formation did Pope Benedict XVI undertake? None. Okay. And Pope Francis too, and even John Paul II, in you'll remember "Vicesi Mus Quintus Annus," Jesse. He says, you know, the period of changing rites is done. Okay, we're beyond that now. Now is a time of deepening and appreciating and understanding and praying and participating in the rites. And so we've gone from helping the people to changing the rites, and now we're back into a period of, you know, helping the people to go deeper. And so, you know, our objective in becoming God isn't about, you know, say, ritual reform. There's sort of a, I hope people will hear in this, like in, you know, other Adoramus things, you know, there's a real docility and receptivity and givenness to what the church gives us in the liturgy. And it's, you know, we're not, you know, agitating, you know, for changes one way or the other. We want to help the people to, well, we do want to help priests to celebrate what the church has given them, but with the end game so people can enter into it and ultimately encounter God. And, you know, like Moses face to face with God on the mountaintop, you come face to face with God in the liturgy, and it's transformative and it's sanctifying and divinizing and all the rest.
Gomer, this is a great project that is being supported by Adoramus. Of course, Chris is the editor of Adoramus Bulletin, and I know you're kind of familiar with that. What does that bring in your mind, being able to do this with somebody like Chris and Adoramus Bulletin? What importance does that bring to this project?
Hopefully sick font choices, right? Listen, come on. Look at all the Catholic websites that exist just to be read, right? All these wonderful things written, and their font choices and typeface is terrible, right? It's too small, it's too crappy. What is that, Georgia? Come on, you could do better. And this stuff is just like, I remember the first time I went to Adoramus, went to the website, I was like, oh, I can read this and I want to. This is nice. So that's what it brings. No, it also brings a certain sense of like understanding what and who we're communicating to, right? What we're communicating about and who we're communicating to. Because for me, my biggest liturgical catechesis was just around reception of the sacraments for the first time, right? Like first Holy Communion, first reconciliation, right? All that stuff. And for most people, their whole liturgical formation, unless they do like an Ascension Press, you know, the Bible and the Mass, is entirely sacramental for the reception of the sacraments. So that when it comes time to live out our reception of the Eucharist on Sunday, being the most common liturgical celebration that most people go to, there's a total lack of understanding. And so Adoramus has been communicating the truth of the liturgy, of tradition, of the church fathers, of theologians, like communicating this stuff to people who, yes, people who take their Catholic faith seriously, but also people like it's accessible to people who don't know and who need to know and who want to know. And it does what it can to stay out of, you know, truth will out you one way or the other, but it does what it can to stay out of these petty squabbles and taking sides and all this stuff that only brings more confusion, name-calling, mudslinging. And it's like the truth will win out, so let's just keep saying what the church says with excellent typefaces and beautiful fonts, and that way we'll reach the masses. So for me, my last year and a half at my previous parish, we were emailing, I would say, a minimum of 3 times a day Adoramus articles to each other, right? And things like that, that were circulating around and stuff. And so, especially amongst the trifecta of me and our parochial vicar and our liturgist, it was like, I had no idea about this stuff. And it helped form me because I was in charge of sacramental preparation and I got the sacrament side. I had sacrament classes, but I, when I was at Franciscan, I avoided the liturgy ones because I knew what a jerk I could be and how much my heart tends to want to take sides, because taking sides makes things simpler, but simple doesn't always mean correct. And so taking the time to wade through the nuance and to wade through the history, to wade through the arguments, was huge. And so it kind of culminated for me in realizing this poverty of reading Principles of Sacred Liturgy with my entire faith formation department, one chapter a month, and having a staff member, you know, we'd have our admin assistants present on these topics in, you know, everyone had to take a chapter. And it was amazing to see how much the liturgy meant to them by encountering this stuff. And it's like, yeah, once you see it, you can't unsee it. And so Adoramus just does it so top notch that it just, I was tickled pink to bring them on board with this project.
Chris, you know, Adoramus, when you started, was very much, you know, a printed article representation on web a little bit, but the vision is to move more into more digital content, more resources and things like mm-hmm. that. How does working with somebody like Gomer on a podcast, which is kind of his expertise there, plus his background in evangelization, what does that bring to the vision of Adoramus?
Well, Gomer is, you know, catching foxes and the every knee shall bend or bow, bend, bow, bow. Yeah, he's great great podcaster. And what also I think is a great compliment. I feel like I'm complimenting him, not complimenting, but complimenting. But you know, scripture knowledge, evangelization, teaching, I think is adds a dimension to what you know, what I can do or what Adoramus can do. So I just think it's the match is a very good one, and you know, just as a I'm embarrassed saying this about you on this podcast, but you're the easiest guy to podcast with, right? So I met him once in person.
Sorry.
Second best. I had something
in my, great.
Jersey's terrible. Like, we get it. We get it.
Well, see, I was spoiled by Jesse for all those years. But no, it's just, it's easy to do, you know, that good to work with, the conversation, the, you know, the, I think pretty early on, we were able to establish a decent flow back and forth. So yeah, I think it's a good, we have a good team here going.
Great. Well, I can say you are two of my favorite people, and I could not be more excited about the growth of this podcast and for you guys to do more episodes together. I would say even in that first episode, in the second episode talking about the dual nature of Christ, it made me think about things I had never thought about. And so it was just really edifying, and I'm very excited about where this is going. Me personally, I'm excited that Adoremus and Gomer, you're getting involved with this with all of your network as well. So hopefully we can see that vision after season one, Gomer, that you talked about, people understanding union, that's the goal. And people can understand, you know, who are you supposed to be and who are made in the image and likeness of God. So Thank you so much for the hard work here. We can't wait to see what becomes of this great podcast. So hopefully the podcast will be becoming popular, you know? So
hey, before we sign off, Jesse, I need to thank you too. You did a lot of work behind the scenes to make this possible. So we're grateful for all of that and your support and promotion of this as well. And thanks for anybody who would want to go over and listen to this podcast. I really hope you do. We could really appreciate what you hear. Teaching the church on the liturgy out of the tradition that is a message that the modern world needs.
Yeah. Right.
Amen.
Well, thank you both. God bless.